I promised you that today we were going to help you plan your family reunion. So there's only one place, one person that I would ever talk to about this because she's the author of Secrets to Successful Events, How to Organize, Promote, and Manage Exceptional Events and Festivals. She's the former chairman of the largest free jazz festival in the Southeast. So we're going to Lynn Fuller, and the former tourism director of Clearwater Beach, Florida. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, David.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this. People are planning their family reunions. You know, they've already maybe even sent out the invitations already. They're going to have them sometime this summer. And, man, where do you start when you're doing these family reunions?
There's some fairly basic steps, and the first step involves multiple pieces. One is, it's better to have a committee to do this, a committee of family members, because if you do it by yourself, you don't have anyone to pass it along to the following year or the next mm-hmm. family reunion. Mm-hmm. So you'll need to get a small group of people to be involved. And then I normally like to suggest that they survey different branches of the family tree to just determine what's a bad date, what's a good date, and then to also talk a little bit about the money side of things. Can you just go off and spend anything, or do you need to make sure that if you're buying games or entertainment for the kids, if somebody needs to authorize that? So to avoid the, I thought conversation that occurs after the event.
Well, then, you're making this almost sound or almost be like it's a, this is a whole business venture when you're going, like you're chairman of the board almost, you know, let's bring it back to the board and get a vote.
Well, I've stood in the circle of people of even my own family, and I had a family member that said, well, I thought it was going to be paid this way. So it's better just to address it right up front, because that way, in case someone finds a dandy bargain or sale and decides to buy 100 things when you really only need 12, that somehow the whole family doesn't have to share in the expense of
Lynn, let's be honest. No matter what you do, there's always one in the crowd that goes, we didn't need to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes there's two or three. So.
Yeah, I've been on the other end of that multiple times, you know, when all of a sudden, you know, somebody, they say, well, you just go ahead and do it because they don't want to do it. But then when you do it, they criticize it. Man, it sounds like politics mm-hmm. to me.
yes, and I always say, he who raises their hand has a lot more weight than the one that just opens their mouth. So that's just how I see it. You always have an opinion. raise your hand.
I like it. He who raises their hand has more, right, and more clout than those who just open their mouth. I like it. All right. Well, go ahead.
And the next piece I see being very important is determining the location. And you have so many opportunities in your area. The Belmont Complex has banquet rooms and outside door pavilions. They've also got the pool for entertainment. The Fraternal Order of Eagles has a nice social room. You can look at Ford City, where you've got the golf resort or the park or even the Environmental Learning Center at Crooked Creek. Down at Apollo, just for fun, you know, it may be an extracurricular activity. You could go to the roller rink. The winery has an event center. Freeport has Renshaw Farms, and they've got an event room. And then even if you've got a group that's more camping-oriented, you could go down to the campground at Templeton, and that way you've got the event and the accommodations covered. And I find even that there's another park at Paradise Park campground at Cowansville. And even Worthington, the fire hall, has been the site of reunions. So there, or even the American Legion there. So you've got a lot of different opportunities for places you can have it. And depending upon how fancy or how casual you want to make it, there truly are lots of sites in the local area to host your event.
You're exactly right. And I, by the way, I'm really impressed. You've done your homework on Armstrong County as well. And you're very, very good about mentioning all those areas. There are just several ways to go. And, you know, it can be as simple, too. And I'm promoting our own park right here. But Katanning Riverfront Park, has a couple gazebos there. And if you're not going to plan a big reunion, let's just say it's kind of a smaller, on the smaller scale. Now, most reunions are on the bigger scale. But let's just say that yours is on the smaller scale. You know, they've got some pavilions down there, some gazebos, you know, that you can actually gazebos, not pavilions. But you can go, well, they do have one. Okay, anyway. But the point is you can be right along the riverbank, and it's in a very picturesque location, and you can enjoy yourself that way. And it doesn't cost that much to reserve it and make it all yours.
No. And to me, some of those types of events, because you can do more of the home cooking and you can make sure that mom brings the pies that everybody loves. So you can really cater more to that family experience, the Sunday dinners that you don't get anymore because everybody's off in different directions.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah. Yeah, and of course, there's always somebody who makes the homemade cinnamon rolls like mom used to make, you know, and so you get those. Oh, I mean, now you got me started. I'm ready to do the lunch thing and call up some relatives and say, let's do some baking. Let me ask you another thing about before we go to break, because, you know, whenever you're talking about these reunions and you're talking about the places to go, you know, so how do you establish everybody needs to chip in? I mean, you know, here you have the planner or the group of planners, maybe two or three or four people that are, you know, trying to work this all out. But, you know, for instance, if they went to the country club, you know, it could be as high as $500-$600. Plus, then you have to use their caterers, that type of thing. Versus if you go down to the, you know, by the bridge, you know, a lot of open space, but not necessarily, and it's not air conditioned, obviously, but it's cheap. So how do you determine how you're going to tell everybody, hey, by the way, bring $5 each with you because we got to pay for this thing?
I really think it's part of creating that budget in the beginning so you actually know what all of your costs are. And then if you can explain it, I think they can support it. And you can also say, here's the minimum we need. That way, for those that really are not able to contribute the amount of everyone else, you can have, say, another family who is better off subsidize some of that. But I really think you need to be upfront as to what your hard costs are. And sometimes it really takes more of finding the person everyone trusts who may do bookkeeping for a living or may do taxes or has a true fiscal sense to them that everyone knows, well, if Bob's involved, then he really knows that this is the real cost, and I trust Bob, so it's good.
Okay, that's so important because there are so many families that splinter anyway, you know, after mom and dad go, and, you know, boy, this is just one more thing. I got to cough up one more dime or dollar. And it just, you know, that can be a real sticking point with the relatives.
Well, and you can also, if you want to keep costs down, you may be able to find someone in the family who has connections and could have some aspect of the supplies or the beverages or the food donated, which can then help bring things down a little bit. Now, again, you may have the other side of the story, which was, well, I always go to him because, you know, but... it can be a sticky situation, but if someone wants to argue about any aspect of a family reunion, they will find one.
No doubt. Lynn Fuller's my guest this morning as we're talking about planning that summer reunion. You know, everybody likes to go and have a family reunion, but I'll tell you what, it's nothing but pure hard work. We're going to talk about just how hard is it in just a moment.
My guest
today is Lynn Fuller. She is a former tourism director of Clearwater Beach, Florida, and the former chairman of the largest free jazz festival in the Southeast. And she's written a book called Secrets to Successful Events, How to Organize, Promote, and Manage Exceptional Events and Festivals. And so she knows a little bit about all this stuff. And so we've kind of tapped into her today to talk a little bit about the reunions, because many of you are having, you know, family reunions this summer. And so we wanted to help you with that, and I think we did. And but Lynn, thank you for hanging on. I appreciate you staying with me.
My pleasure.
Let's talk a little bit, though, about something that several families are really into right now, and that's the big graduation parties. And I guess the first question I have, because this is always a difficult thing, is how do you determine the guest list? Like, you know, I mean, you don't invite every kid, every senior from the high school, right? I mean, you tell them, pare it down, and you invite 10 or 20. I mean, how do you do that?
I think often kids will have their own little group that they hang out with, And those are the ones that have ran in and out of the house over the years. They're the ones that your kid always calls. And I think those are the ones, and also their parents, because in addition to you raising your child, to some extent, your friend's parents have also played a role. So I would go personally with the smaller group, the ones that you really have a connection with, that know your child and have watched them grow up, in addition to their friends. But I don't see the need for the masses. I would say normally that can be handled by another group.
Now, if you're the Dudak family, you got to invite the whole football team, because, you know, Zane was the number one player last year and graduated. So I'm sure they're having a hard time. You can't dwindle that down too far, because I think every football player would want to be there.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Well, okay. Now, how about the relatives? Because, you know, you have all the kids as friends, that type of thing. But let's face it, they're not going to bring too many gifts. You know, I mean, they'll do something. But really, we need to appeal now to the relatives, because, you know, you have Uncle John and Aunt Sally and all those people that, you know, want to be a part of this or could be a part of this. And, you know, they're going to come. And also, you know, the ones you're going to have help bake all the extra cookies and that type of thing. So how do we put the extended family together on this?
I would first back up and ask the question, where are you holding the event, and how much food do you want to buy? And so I think, depending, if you're having it at your house or your backyard, it may only handle up to X amount of people. So that may be the how you determine your criteria. But if it's a very if it's at a venue that can actually handle a lot more people, or if you want to couch it as an open house where people can run in and run out, you're not expecting them to be there the whole time. And so to your question, I always kind of like start at the top and look at your oldest family members first, and then kind of run down from there. So the grandparents, if there are godparents that have helped raise a child, and then go to the siblings. Some may still be at home, some may be married, and kind of walk down that line. And a lot of times it's the people that have truly been involved with the child, or they've been the favorite aunt and uncle that have been involved. So that's where I go. And in some cases, people just are like, no, bye-bye, see you, we got plans already that weekend, and they're just not as connected. So I think it's the connections that you need to play up on.
Let's talk a little bit about the etiquette side of life too, because now, should these invitations be, you know, sent out in the mail? Is it proper just to go ahead and give the relatives a call and have the kids tell their friends to come? I mean, how do you, is it RSVP only? How do you do this?
If I get an invitation that is just by email, I don't consider that a serious invitation. But if a graduate is sending out the formal announcement as to that they've graduated, then, and they include it with that, or they include it separately at the same time, I take those more serious. I consider that, and so to me, I treat that more as a formal invitation and more of an expectation to come, and that if I can't, then I do RSVP to it. So it all depends upon the tone of the actual invitation, how formal, how serious, how casual.
Okay, so mainly, though, if you want to be serious about it and you want them to take you serious, the written invitation is the better one.
Yes, yes.
Okay, now I got that. And Lynn, I'm just running out of time, and I'd love to talk to you, and you are just such a wealth of knowledge. But her book is called Secrets to Successful Events, How to Organize, Promote, and Manage Exceptional Events and Festivals. Lynn Fuller, and it's spelled, by the way, F-U-H-L-E-R. So look her up on Amazon. I'm sure they can get the book on Amazon. Any other place?
Amazon, and I would drive people towards Amazon. That's the quickest and easiest way, but it is available through major booksellers as well.
Shutdown sequence initiated. Shutting down.
All right, Lynn Fuller. Thank you so much, Lynn. Have a great day. Are you in Clearwater?
No, actually, I'm in Winston-Salem, North Carolina now.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you're going to enjoy your weather there. At least I hope so.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Okay. Have a great day. And by the way, if you come to Armstrong County, we have a place for you right here at WTYM.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Lynn Fuller.